Verse number 11, we're going to pick up here in Romans 6. Bible reads, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. So if the Bible is commanding us not to let sin reign, obviously we have a choice over that. We control whether we're going to walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. And when you let sin reign, when you let sin just have the rule and have the charge, or another way of putting this is just your flesh, right? You just are obeying the lusts of your flesh. It's going to bring death into your life one way or another. Now, obviously, bad things happen to people. It's not always just a direct result of sin. And I preached on this before too, but you know, there's you know, in this life, bad things happen for a whole multitude of reasons. And you can't always look to any one reason always as to what a purpose is, as to why bad things happen. Bad things happen, you know, and we're not always even going to understand why they always happen. I am a big fan, though, of, and I think what we ought to do in general in our own lives is look at things and say, well, when bad things happen, is it a result of my sin? Like, am I involved in something I shouldn't be? Am I maybe reaping something that I've sown? Am I being chastised or punished as a result of something that I did? That's what I like to do first and foremost, just to make sure, hey, am I right with God? Now, oftentimes, you may be like, yeah, I don't have any like real major thing going on in my life. I'm not just off into some horrible wickedness. Then obviously there's also plenty of other reasons why bad things can happen. Sometimes it happens because other people are real sinful, even just maybe not associated with you at all. Some, you know, people do bad things. I mean, there's murderers out there that end up killing innocent people. You know, it doesn't mean that that person, that their victim did anything wrong. It doesn't mean that they're being judged for their sin. It just means that there's other wicked people that are out there. And, you know, so just part of life too. There's a lot of dangers and things that happen in life. And so I don't want to, you know, obviously we shouldn't get to a point where you're just always thinking everything is your fault, but it's a good humble place to start and to look at yourself and to self-analyze and say, hey, you know, these bad things are happening. Am I in sin? Am I doing something? Because as we're going to continue to see here, sin is going to bring about, it never brings out anything good ever. It's always destructive. It's always bad. And it's something to just keep our minds focused on to be able to make sure that we don't allow sin to reign in our body. Verse number 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Again, how many times is sin being just associated with death? So if you yield yourselves servants to obey, if you yield yourselves servants to sin, it's sin unto death. Verse 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23, very famous passage, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many times does the Bible have to tell us the end of those things is death? The wages of sin is death. You know, death came upon all men. Death is a result of sin. And, you know, this is getting hammered home in every single one of these passages here in the book of Romans. Romans 5, Romans 6, we're going to see it in Romans 7. Flip over to Romans 7, verse number 5. The Bible reads, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." In our minds, we should have this equivalence, sin, death, sin, death. And when you lead your life, just remember, when you start opening up that door to sin, what you're doing is just opening up the door to death. You say, "Pastor Persons, that just sounds really extreme. I don't see how." Look, the end of sin is death. That's what it's going to lead to. Verse number 6, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me." So this is kind of this personification of sin, saying sin deceived me and then slew me, it killed me. Sin is deceptive, as I was talking about that earlier. It's a facade. It's going to try to make you think, "Oh man, this is real great. Oh, you know, drink this booze. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's laughing and enjoying themselves and having so much fun. Oh, look at how great this is. Isn't it great? I want to be part of that. I want to have some fun too. I want to have fun with everyone else." That's a deception. That's a deception. Because what's the end of that result, or the end of that sin? The end of drinking booze is it's poisoning your body. So the death may not come instantly. It may come instantly. Maybe it comes when you get behind the wheel of your car and you get into a wreck and you kill yourself because you're drunk. That might happen. It might happen because you poison your body excessively and you die from alcohol poisoning. That death can easily come. It could be a slower death where you just poison your body a little bit slower so you don't get so intoxicated that you die immediately. But just over the years, you start getting disease in your body just because of the constant sin that you keep on bringing that junk in your body. Look, it's damaging. It's destructive. It doesn't help. You know, when we eat the food and the vegetables and the things and the meats that God gave us that's for our sustenance, what does it do? It benefits our body. It helps us. It provides function. It provides energy. It provides nutrition. It provides the things that we need to be productive, to work, to do things. But you know what happens when you drink alcohol? It damages your body. It's going to damage your liver. That's why there's these diseases like cirrhosis. Because of the damage done by the poison that you've ingested in your body. Oh yeah, it looks real fun, but you know what? The end of that is death.